On today's Compassion Radio.
There is a front line of fighting this pandemic. There's the front line of fighting for the souls of people. Pastors and missionaries, from my experience too, aren't different than normal people in a congregation. Maybe for missionaries and pastors or clergy, we need support, encouragement of congregations.
Hi again, friends, and welcome back to the second part of our conversation with Richard Nungesser of Bread of Life Ministry and the Poznan International Church, both located west of the Polish capital of Warsaw. As a missionary, pastor, husband, and father of multiple kids, including one facing big medical challenges, deciding what to do in the face of the coronavirus epidemic was more complicated than most of us have had to face. Yet with real joy, faith, and gratitude, he continues to pastor his congregation from 5,000 miles away. Richard and the Poznan International Church both know that they've only got so many years to bring God glory and to build his kingdom here on earth. The challenges of a worldwide pandemic haven't dented their zeal or love one bit. We'll start with a quick recap from yesterday's broadcast.
We're losing income to pay rent. There's, you know, a lot of internationals who are stuck abroad.
Yes.
Who can't get home. Even one of our directors for Bread of Life for Ivory Coast, he lives in the Netherlands with his family. His wife's pregnant with their third, but he's stuck at Ivory Coast and can't get back.
Wow.
Other people are stuck in India and can't get to the families in Poland, for example. So it does make for a challenging hands-on experience. But I think at this moment, we can do our best to encourage people via online phone calls, text messages, you know, able to help maybe transfer some funds to somebody who needs some food, or even deliver food from the Bread of Life to the people who are in need.
You know, I think about the first century, Paul and other apostles sent a lot of letters around. That was the only technology available to them to send encouragement. And you can imagine the entire church coming together when a letter came from Paul. He's been gone for a year, or when Peter sent his circular around to the entire church outside of Jerusalem. What a big deal it must have been to sit down and hear a word from our fathers. It doesn't seem quite so big deal to us in this day when everybody can do it. It's kind of like talking about publishing. There's a million people now that can publish a book. It hasn't changed the amount of people that are actually good at it. So there is something to be said for leadership that is tested and true and is able to communicate well. But I do wonder if there is something missing almost in the modern church in our inability to capture the things that God is saying through pastors like you, missionaries who are plugged in at the bleeding edge of the gospel. And if there's not a responsibility we have to not just catalog what happened like a diary, but to make sense of it through the Spirit of God himself, to write a kind of a modern epistle of what we went through as a body during these times and make that part of the canon of not scripture, but a canon of ongoing conversation. The Jewish people call it the Talmud, the rolling forward of the truths and the dialogue from generation to generation. How do you see yourself speaking into the people you're with, and how do you think God's going to use this experience and make it available to Christians who are not even yet born so they can learn from what your body, what this entire world church body is going through during this time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hope in my desire with the church back in Poland that I pastor, Poznan International Church, and with the organization that my wife and I founded, Bread of Life, with our colleagues and our team members, that through the situation, through this pandemic, that they see people whose faith was matured and increased, mm-hmm. not just in their own life, just for their own selves in that mm-hmm. sense. Because I think there's this, you know, vertical relationship that we have with God, but this whole horizontal relationship, you know, loving your neighbor
yeah.
as yourself. You know, I think there's a huge moment or opportunity, because maybe once all this quarantine is lifted, people might rush back into churches. Mm. But it would be wonderful to see that happen, but also just people rush into their neighbors, mm. into their communities to, you know, help people through this aftermath
right.
of this pandemic. it was interesting. You know, our church isn't real big compared to maybe to churches here in the U.S. But a couple Sundays ago in my sermon, I just went through the list of countries that have been at PIC. Mm. And there's been 72 different countries or nations wow. that have been through PIC since I've been pastoring there. And to think of the opportunity that we have to advance the kingdom of God
yes.
through those different nations. So then I get excited about that as well, because then I think, you know, God used a little city of Poznan that maybe not too many people know of in Poland, but to be like a discipling ground for, you know, already 72 different nations to go back out into the world to take this love of Christ in practical ways.
Yeah.
And so we pray for those different people that have been at church, that they too will mature through this. And on the other side, going through this, that they too will have an impact in their community. And that's how we've seen, you know, Bread of Life move to Ivory Coast or to other countries where people have went back home. They're like, hey, I can do something as simple as giving a cup of tea or water in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then things develop from there.
And the key phrase is in the name of Jesus. What does that really mean? Because we use it like a bumper sticker. You know, God bless you.
Yeah.
Or you know, we say Gesundheit after someone sneezes. Those are perfunctory yeah, yeah. responses to things. But when you say you're doing this in the name of Jesus, it's supposed to mean something. It means that Jesus, if he was here himself, in fact, he is, wants you to have this. And I just want to let you know that Jesus did not forget about you, and he put me here to be part of his solution for you. When we start talking that way and expecting God to show up because he is showing up, that we have a whole different wavelength we're on, and we start asking God questions as if he's in the room with us, because he is. And you yes. are in that situation now where you're having to imagine yourself in the room with those you're calling across the seas, imagining yourself with them in their hour of crisis, or as you said, one of your people having a panic attack that was unrelenting for hours, to be present and be available to them, not just to sit with them out of your own strength, but to be Jesus and to let his power flow through you and sense it happening. What an incredible opportunity it is for those who say they want to follow Jesus, and now they've got to, or it's all going to fall apart. Give me an example in your life here, Richard, about what's happened in your conversations. Are you speaking in a different way? Are you asking different questions? What kind of things are you growing up in your faith and in your communication as a pastor?
I would say it goes back to this faith or this trust issue. Because I have to realize and trust that God loves my kids mm-hmm. or my wife, the church, the ministry, whatever it is, way more than I do. Mm-hmm. And God can provide way more and way better than I could ever yes. try to provide.
He could.
And take care of, yeah, take care of people or even the most creative ideas or all the plans that we had. Mm-hmm. In first part of May, we're supposed to take our youth group up to Denmark. Mm-hmm. You know, for a weekend, and you know, the mission teams that were coming, all the youth camps that we had. We're supposed to have a group of about 50 youth come from Sweden in June, you know, and the festivals that we had planned, and the mission trips to Moldova, you know, all that is been postponed. So we have to kind of see, okay, even in the midst of this, God, you're bigger than this.
Yeah.
So what's happening? And it's just this simple prayer that never fails. God, your will be done in this situation. And so I think I just want to try to find myself in God's will. It may be different than how I perceived it to be this year for 2020 with yeah. all these wonderful things that we had planned, but just to try to find myself and align myself in God's will and kind of see how this might unfold and what the differences might be.
For all the time, you'll have to be waiting. You're waiting on the Lord, not waiting for the Lord. I think about that phrase from the Lord's Prayer. He says, Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I try to imagine what kind of as it is in heaven we're talking about here. When we talk about the will being expressed, there's no fear of being misunderstood or there being misunderstandings in heaven. I'm sure that things are clear. There's no shadow of turning. There's no expectation of being lied to. There's just honesty and acceptance. And that's the kind of communication that heaven has got to be made of. So in the situation we find ourselves in now, you do have tools to communicate, but we don't have a guarantee of being honest with each other or that the truth's going to get across very well. There's still a spiritual battle going on in this world. So when I hear Jesus saying, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, I'm thinking about those things. I'm praying with the kind of conversations that we're having through our radio program and the way we talk to our people, our partners around the world, that as we do it, that our conversations and our time spent together is bringing clarity and comfort and courage, not confusion and fear and panic. We have to be the peacemakers. We have to make peace within ourselves if the world's going to see that, oh, they have something we really need and we want. And not just because it's bait, because we want them to come to Jesus, but because it's right, because this is what heaven is supposed to be like. And we are told to pray, Lord, let heaven come to earth. Let earth be like it is in heaven. So that's the kind of stuff I'm praying for pastors like you that are forcibly removed from their congregations and trying to figure out how to shepherd, how to care for, and how to inspire in ways that only God can, but He used your lips to do it. That's the kind of prayers I pray for guys like you. There's more coming up from Richard Ungesser of Poznan International Church and the Bread of Life Ministry right after this. Friends, I hope you're not forgetting your brothers and sisters around the world that are battling coronavirus and the panic it brings, just like you are. And I'm thrilled that you continue to partner with us in times like this. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else. Thank you for how your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. If you use our website, make sure to download a copy of Michael O'Brien's beautiful rendition of Were You There? Just a few clicks and the song is yours to encourage and inspire you throughout the day, on your computer, phone, or music device. You can also download his entire Crown Hymn album as well. Best of all, you get to name your gift to this ministry. There's no required minimum. Give as the Lord enables you and enjoy Michael's powerful, warm voice for always.
Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to shout hallelujah, hallelujah. Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave?
What else do we need to know right now, Richard, about how missionaries and pastors are dealing with this crisis of COVID and dealing with maybe their own crises of faith, having to stretch into things they never thought they'd be tested like this, and God's putting them through the ringer emotionally and spiritually? How do we need to be praying for you pastors and missionaries?
Yeah, thank you so much for your prayers, Bram. And for those that listen to, you know, for your prayers as well. I really think it's the prayers that carry. Hmm. When I think about those that are on the front line, like the nurses, the doctors, the scientists, the organizations that are delivering food or personal protective equipment to hospitals and tents and stuff like that, there is a front line of fighting this pandemic in a sense. But there's the front line of fighting for the souls of people, for the security, I guess, of people in their faith as it increases.
Yeah.
Because pastors and missionaries, from my experience too, aren't different than normal people in a congregation. It's not like, you know, we're protected from diseases or protected from financial struggles or protected because we have such a position. Maybe sometimes it could be worse.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe trying to just to get rid of you or cause somebody to stumble and say, look, hypocrite, you know, and banish them and throw them out of the church.
Chop down the tree in the center of the garden.
Exactly. And so I think it's just a real level playing field where maybe for missionaries and pastors or clergy, you know, it's a time too that we struggle and we need support, encouragement of congregations, you know, hey, I'm praying for you, or hey, you know, thank you for that sermon, you know, it encouraged me somehow, you know, getting, I think, feedback or something like that, I think is important because you don't have that one-on-one with people. And there's a lot, you know, that you can sense in fellowship and body language, you know, when 150 people are together drinking coffee or talking, you know, you can get a sense of, hey, you know, this was a good Sunday. People were encouraged. And, but now it's like, I never like standing in front of a camera. So when I stand in front of a camera, I feel like a stiff board, right. I don't move. So there is this like distance, you know, with the people. And when you're on the front line, clergy or missionaries or whoever it is, your job is with people.
Yeah.
And so to be distanced from people is really hard. But I do think, like you mentioned before too, you know, you see Jesus in different moments in his ministry where he retreats.
Yeah.
And he retreats, he prays, and he spends time in his prayer. And then after that prayer, you see different moments where then like he chose the disciples, mm-hmm. or he had different ministry moments where, that were just took it to a whole nother level.
Right.
So maybe through this time for missionaries or pastors and just people in general, this is a moment for us just to be with God, to be praying, still to be active in our faith, still mobilizing, equipping the saints, equipping people and volunteers to continue to serve, but to see where this might rise us to the next level of ministry that God might have for the church around the world.
There will be a time for us to rush back into the open streets with lots of humanity running around us and doing that work again. But I think about Jesus preparing for all the things that came at the end of his earthly ministry. All of the preparation, it seems, happened in isolation, or at least in solitude. This temptation in the wilderness, 40 days of being faced with the question of his true identity and what his temptation, what would be the things as a man that could draw him away from his mission. He faced them all, and we hear the story because he obviously told the story to his disciples. His transfiguration didn't happen walking through a mall. It was way up on a mountain somewhere, away from every other distraction, so he could focus utterly on his Father. And he had enough witnesses around that were utterly transformed by the experience of watching Jesus himself become transformed. Those things are done in the unusual times. The whole world is getting a taste of the unusual right now, and I think it's to our benefit if we'll let it be. So my challenge to our listeners right now is 90% or better of the people that are listening to this program have a pastor, or at least have one that they're familiar with and ascribe to their teaching or the congregation that this pastor pastors. And because of that, they have a relationship with this person. They may have a great relationship. They may be longing to spend time across a coffee with them as soon as possible. They may have had some disagreements with this pastor or have an ongoing kerfuffle with them, an argument about some point of doctrine or theology or other things going on that has driven a wedge between them. No matter what, at a time like this, pastors like Richard that we're hearing from today, they need to hear from us that we are proud of them, that we are expecting God to do great things in them and to protect them with his angels. So friends, don't grow weary in doing good. Stand by your pastors. Closing thoughts. Richard, what else is on your heart right now that we haven't touched upon yet, but you know that you can't let the moment go by without saying it?
Yeah. Thank you, Bram. Thank you. That was very, very encouraging. I know many pastors around the world would be blessed and encouraged. Final thoughts. I would just like to encourage people around the world too with this, with that quote that my aunt shared with me. You know, there's the two types of pain in life, the pain of effort, the pain of regret. And just thinking that faith is a choice.
Yeah.
And fear is a choice. Don't fear. Don't fear. Choose faith. And as you choose the faith, then watch something supernatural,
right,
such as God's peace that will come into your heart, into your mind, like Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. You know, we're to pray on all occasions with thanksgiving. Many, many people around the world go through difficult situations on a daily basis, fighting other illnesses or fighting, you know, for their marriage or whatever it might be. But find the peace that surpasses all understanding, which only is supernatural, that comes from Jesus, our Christ. I just want to encourage people, know him more. If you don't know him, get to know him. and allow your life to be forever changed for the best, and have a relationship with God. I would like to encourage people on that, because I know God didn't send his son Jesus into this world for more religions.
No, he sent
his son into this world for a relationship that we can have with our Creator. Yeah. So I'd like to encourage people in that, that they might know Christ.
The kind of faith and peace you've been talking about throughout this whole conversation, Richard, is, I think, inextricably tied to the concept of love as Jesus defined it, the kind of agape which throws itself with abandon into loving on somebody. And that kind of love is the kind of thing that not only feels things, but joins with faith. It joins with that deep well of peace and stands up and casts out fear. Because we know that perfect kind of love perfectly casts out fear. And we don't want to be subscribing to or worshiping fear, which is kind of a twisted self-worship, because it's our emotions that we're talking about here. God's not standing around in fear. He's standing with us in our fear, but he doesn't want us to steep in it. So yes, I'm with you, Richard. Go for the peace, go for the love, and go for the faith that transforms the situations that we're in. Not because it necessarily changes every circumstance, but it certainly is going to transform us in the middle of it.
Yes.
Before we go, Richard, if you have websites you can share so people can know more about your work in Poland and how they might contact you by email in the future, let them know how to do that.
Sure. Yeah, so for all the Polish people out there, we have a special site just for you in Polish.
Awesome.
It's www.breadoflife.pl for Poland. Right. And then many of the actions in Poland, we've just finished raising more than 50,000 zloty, so about $12,000 to $15,000 for different hospitals in Poland.
Awesome.
And so there's a website as well, where you can go and help other people who are fighting other diseases such as cancer and stuff. And this website is called zostananyowym.pl. So if you're Polish, you'll understand exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly.
www.zostananyowym.pl, which is in English, become an angel. So you can go there and support people who are in need. And then, of course, for the church, our website is simple. It's poznan.church. www.poznan.church.
Which is P-O-Z-N-A-N.
Correct.
Very good. Richard Nungesser of Bread of Life Ministry in the Poznan International Church in Poland, thank you so much for sharing your personal journey. And we kind of left the family situation behind as we got deeper into the conversation, but I want to remind our listeners to be praying for the health of their family, especially their son Maxwell, who has already faced the life-threatening illnesses that COVID represents now for so many other people. So he gets it. If there's anybody you want praying for you if you're facing the coronavirus, the Nungessers are your kind of people, because they've been there. They've got a huge amount of compassion for those who have to face these kind of traumas and these kind of fears. So let them know at the website if you need a prayer request. I'm sure they'd be willing to throw aside a few minutes and just focus on you.
We would be happy to pray. Awesome. Exactly.
And may God restore you to your family and your ministry in Poland as soon as possible. But in the meantime, that God would lavish on you and make the time in Phoenix there a time of restoration in a lot of ways, and a true solitude that brings health and growth in all of you. Thanks for joining us today on Compassion Radio.
Bram, thank you so much. And thank you so much for your ministry. You guys reach the entire world with encouragement, with hope, with, I think, just the blessing of Christ. So we bless you too. May God's face just continue to shine upon you guys in your ministry and Compassion Radio. So thank you so much once again for just being a blessing to so many people, including our family.
Very good. May the pursuit of Pentecost for you guys be a powerful one, as God brings back to life your people and gives them a whole new breath of life. May Pentecost for your congregations and your people across the world that you minister to just be the best one ever for you.
Thank you so much, Bram. Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity just to share with your ministry. Appreciate it. Tell your family we say hi.
Have a great day, friend.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Richard Nungesser of Poznan International Church and the Bread of Life Ministry in Western Poland for taking us to the front lines of faith in extraordinary times. May the Lord keep protecting them in their ministry, especially their son Max, whose history with another corona-like infection almost cost his life as an infant. This extraordinary family is absolutely committed to kingdom building as a team. They're sold out for the gospel. What a great example for us today. And friends, thanks so much for helping us each day to bring these stories to the air. Without your commitment, feedback, and support, there is no Compassion Radio, before, during, or after extraordinary challenges like we find ourselves in these days. God is still very much at work. Will you join us? We treasure your prayers and support as we pursue all that God has for us in this 77th year of ministry. If you'd like to support the work, your gifts are always welcome at our CompassionRadio.com website or by phone at 1-800-868-2478. You can also text Compassion to 53445 to give right from your phone or write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We love you, friends. May God's resurrection power be alive and well within you today. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.